Next week, I leave for Luther Ranch outside of Atlanta to take part in Reflect, Renew, and Recommit. It's 5 days of reflection and conversation for rostered leaders in the ELCA to help them discern the direction God would have them follow in ministry. And those of us who are going were sent 2 interest inventories to complete. One of them is known as the self-directed search, or the SDS. Some questions that help hone in on what occupation you want to pursue. We've probably taken similar inventories in high school or college. And at this point, I'm kind of skeptical that the SDS will be of much use to me. I'm going on 60 years of age, and I'm pretty sure I have no interest or skills to serve as a helicopter pilot. I'm really clear on that. But I will give it a try and see what comes of it. And I don't know that the first 4 disciples Jesus called, that was Simon and Andrew, James and John, had any skills to serve as disciples, but they were most definitely interested. Jesus had been preaching in the area. His sermon was simple. Its implications were mammoth. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, it's likely the 4 heard Jesus speak, and preacher David Lowe suspects also the men understood, given the reality of first century life in Galilee, scraping out a meager living as fishermen, living in a land occupied by the enemy, being subject to the tyrannical rule of Herod, it must have seemed God's kingdom was anywhere else but close at hand. So when Jesus meandered along the Sea of Galilee and invited the 4, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people," somehow it resonated with them. It drove them to drop everything and go with Jesus. And Jesus and crew went on their merry way and quickly attracted significant attention, and word got around about his preaching and his healing. But religious officials balked when Jesus forgave a paralytic's sins. Some folk complained when Jesus ate with the tax men. Almost instantly, enemies colluded to destroy him. Mark doesn't give us much of a hint about what the new disciples thought about all of this, but I can't help but wonder if they'd known that this was the road they would travel, would they have dropped their nets so quickly? My great-nephew Hampton will be baptized next Sunday, and the family is very excited, ready to celebrate the big event. But I'm wondering about Monday after the big bath. How about the rest of Hampton's life? Have his parents thought through the implications for their son? Have we, or do we ever think about for ourselves what living a baptized life means? Presbyterian writer and pastor Eugene Peterson is doubtful we give it much thought. He writes in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, "It is not difficult to get a person interested in the message of the gospel. It is terribly difficult to sustain the interest. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. We can get them to join up, they're in for it, but then not so much for the long haul." I am a Weight Watcher. I have been for many years. I go to meetings on Saturday, and I meet friends there. And this time of the year, as you might imagine, with New Year's resolutions still somewhat fresh, there are a lot of new individuals at the meeting. They are enthusiastic. They want to be disciples. We have had to add more chairs into the meeting space. But I will tell you, in 4 to 6 weeks or less, those extra chairs are going to be removed. And those parking spots that are so filled right now are going to be much more plenteous. Some of those new Weight Watcher disciples are going to fall away. They're eager for the immediate experience of weight loss, and that can happen. What they haven't planned on, what none of us plans on, is the long apprenticeship. The long apprenticeship and the lifestyle change that accompanies it. You and I are disciples of Jesus Christ, and baptism brought about for us a radical change in our lifestyle. We are disciples enrolled in the apprenticeship of following Jesus. And for us, which must have been for the first disciples, as David Loos suggests, God's kingdom also seems light years away with all that we hear and see in the media. Natural disasters, war, and genocide. Now we're dealing with government shutdown. We still have much racial and ethnic conflict. We have threats now of a nuclear attack. We're watching denominational decline happen, congregations close, and that doesn't even touch what's going on in our personal lives and in our extended families. We are also people who want immediate results. I get put out at the microwave having to wait 2 minutes for the soup to heat. A long apprenticeship isn't really our cup of tea. We're used to instant. Peterson continues, everyone is in a hurry. The persons I lead in worship, among whom I counsel, visit, pray, teach, preach, they want shortcuts. They have adopted the lifestyle of a tourist and only want the high points. And this he wrote almost 40 years ago. So it's not a new phenomenon. But Christians are not tourists. We are not those who stop by every now and then for a spiritual high. We are Jesus' disciples. We're in it for the long haul. A long and often tedious apprenticeship of faith. And when we affirm our baptism, we hear what that apprenticeship looks like and sounds like. It's living among God's faithful people, hearing God's word and sharing in his supper, proclaiming the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, serving all people, following the example of our Lord, striving for God's justice and peace in all the earth. That's, in a nutshell, is the life of discipleship. In reading through Mark, we can see the disciples often resembled Peterson's tourists, anxious for Jesus to get the job done, whatever it was going to be, and then pass out the commemorative T-shirts. Been there, done that. The disciples thought Jesus should send the 5,000 gathered to hear Jesus. They thought he should send them away to get their own supper. Jesus had other kingdom ideas. Peter rebuked Jesus when Jesus told him he was on his way to die. In kingdoms, the king, the leader, the Messiah doesn't die. But in God's kingdom, it's different. James and John thought the kingdom meant power and prestige. It was absolutely opposite. And once Jesus was arrested, Mark tells us, every one of them deserted their leader, their rabbi, at his arrest. The kingdom of God is unlike any kingdom we ever or will encounter. For the disciples, their experience, well, much of it was very difficult, very dangerous. Tradition has it that some of them were martyred for their faith. But the long obedience in the same direction, their long apprenticeship taught them that God's kingdom is vastly at odds with our ideas. And that a tourist-like approach just is not satisfactory. They learned that God's kingdom comes in the ordinary and the routine. It's not all mountaintop experiences. It comes in tears of grief or when a baby cuts her first tooth. It comes by sharing with others, listening to others, being challenged by others. Sometimes it comes as two Tylenol that relieve a headache and a good night's sleep. The kingdom isn't about tourists just visiting, just passing through. It is about disciples who are on the way with Jesus during highs and lows, through thick and thin, for better and for worse, sustained by word and sacrament, and led by the Holy Spirit. Last night, I opened a magazine that arrived yesterday, and the editorial at the beginning featured a picture of a plaque that's found in a church in Boston. And the plaque reads like this: "In memory of Harold Emerson Miller, 1867 to 1949, for more than 40 years, a devoted and faithful servant of Trinity Church. From 1898 to 1920, assistant to the sexton. From 1920 to 1940, sexton. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." And the editor writes, "I took a photo of a bronze plaque on the wall. Something about this memorial to a man who gave 42 years of his life to everyday tasks struck me as beautiful." Joey has given 25 years of his life to everyday tasks that we take for granted. But in Harold Emerson Miller and in Joey Allison, through the simple and the ordinary, but absolutely necessary, there we see the kingdom of God breaking in, part of that long obedience in the same direction. Thanks be to God. Amen.